Turn this morning to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to read one verse this morning. That's verse 34. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People are known for two things: the entrance they make into this world and the exit they make as they leave this world. We have several preachers in the church, and I think that most preachers would do well to heed the advice of someone of yesteryear when they said the two greatest sermons they'll ever remember that a preacher preaches is their first sermon and their last sermon. And I would agree with that. The last words of people are important. We know that Scriptures record seven sayings of Christ on the cross. This is one of those sayings. I think the time frame of those sayings is very important. Jesus hung on the cross, as near as we can tell, from about 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 6 hours. The first 3 hours, it was daylight. But the last 3 hours, the earth was darkened. As Christ took upon Him the sin of the entire world, God drew the curtain of time, the blackness of eternity. For God could not look upon His Son as He was made sin for us. Not that He sinned, but He was made sin for us. Took upon Himself our sins and poured out His life's blood on the cross. Those 3 hours of daylight, there were three sayings in daylight. There were four sayings in the dark. The three sayings in the daylight were sayings for others. The four sayings in the dark were the sayings concerning Christ Himself. The three sayings that went out during the daylight was for the benevolence of those that were standing nearby. So He was looking at all of those around Him. But those other four was a relationship between Him and the Heavenly Father as the curtain of darkness was drawn. Three sayings that dealt with a view toward heaven, and four sayings with a view toward heaven, three sayings with a view out on humanity. And the timing of those are significant, because what He said in daylight come to pass in the dark. It was when the darkness of the curtain of death was drawn and the final words were spoken that He spoke these words on behalf of you and I. This is the first of the sayings, a daylight saying. A saying that affected not only those that were there that day, but it also affects you and I. I guess it's significant in the fact that this particular saying had been prophesied 7 centuries before by the prophet Isaiah in the 53rd chapter. Oh, what a tremendous, tremendous chapter in the Word of God. That's the chapter that tells us He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. I say it a lot, but I'll say it again this morning. Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ came. But Isaiah wrote everything in the past tense as though it had already happened. Why? Because God, when this earth was founded, He also founded a way that we might be saved. And here at this particular saying, the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter says that He made intercession for the transgressors. That's exactly what was happening in this particular passage. Jesus was interceding for those that had wronged Him. And He cried those blessed words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think there's four significant points that's made in this prayer by Christ that I want to call to your attention today. First of all, I want to call your attention to the fact of the word Father. This shows us that He was looking upward for you and I. Here He was now, above the the earth. No longer did he have the powers that was on earth because he was suspended between the heavens and earth. And what he was saying is, I've done my job on earth. Now, Father, I'm interceding for behalf of these that you'll move for my sake on their knee. There's only one other time that Christ addressed his Father on the cross, and that was during the darkness when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But this time he's not dealing with himself, he's dealing with those around him. He's interceding to the Father on our behalf. Those that would come in time of eternity and through the ages. He's looking through all of that and saying, Father, move because you're the one that has the power to do it. So he looks up to the Father and then he looks in. What does he say? Father, forgive. Oh, what a precious word to forgive. Somehow we don't always possess that ability. How we wish that we could look in and somehow find forgiveness in our heart, but how difficult it would be to forgive, especially when you're in the place that Christ is at. I listened this week as I was driving down the highway. Some of you maybe heard it as well. They had a gentleman on the radio, and he had been a captive of Saddam Hussein. And I know we hear a lot of things and see a lot of things, but he'd gone through the tortures of this wicked, wicked man. And by the way, don't expect any sympathy from me for Saddam Hussein. Any man that thinks he's Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated is full of the devil. Full of the devil. Tortured his own people and killed his own and massacred his own. And I wonder what's coming to this nation when folks look at a tyrant like that and find pity in their heart for what they've done. And it's hard sometimes for us to even hear things and to get to that place where that we could have the forgiveness, perhaps, that we ought to. They asked this gentleman, said, have you ever gotten over your experience under the hands of Saddam Hussein? Never, he said. They hung him upside down by his feet and they put a blindfold on him. And he said when they hoisted him up, his head accidentally brushed the leg of one of the soldiers, and his gun, as far as he could tell, pulled the blindfold down far enough for him to see out of one eye. He said, I could see over on one table, and they had a man laying there on a cot, and they had pliers, and they were pulling out his toenails and pulling out his fingernails. Said, I looked over on the other corner, and he said, I could see a man stretched out. His body was soaked with water, and they had hooked up some type of an instrument to a battery, and they were taking that and shocking his body, and he said, torturing him. Said, I watched one man as he denied to go along with them and stood for what was right, and said, I watched him literally split him in half. And he said, I hate that man. And I listened to him, tears welled up in my eyes, but I thought, that's what's different about Christ. Here is Christ looking at the very ones that have beat him, looking at the very ones that had tortured him, looking at the very ones that had crucified him, and yet he could say, Father, forgive. Oh, the sweetest words you'll ever hear is when Jesus intercedes on your behalf and says, Father, forgive. Oh, the forgiveness of God to wipe away our past. He has a power to forgive that you and I don't have. But He does forgive. Father, forgive them. He first looks up, then He looks in. But then he looks out. Who's them? The soldiers were there that day. Those that he worked with were there that day. His mother was there that day. But for some reason, I think he looked even farther out than that. I think he looked down through the channels of time, saw Sunday morning service. We're hearing all around the world this morning. The gospel could be preached. He can say, Father, just forgive those people when I use the word them. I believe when he used the word them, he was not only talking about the centurion. I believe he was not only talking about Pilate. not only talking about Herod, not only talking about those gathered around the cross, but I think he also said, Father, when you forgive them, you just forgive Calvin Ray Evans too. Thank God your name was included in that. He said, now just include all of them. And here's the thing that blessed my heart. When I looked at this week, then said Jesus, something kept drawing me back to that. Out of these seven sayings on the cross, as that was written in the Greek, they recorded it in a different manner than all the other sayings. It is the only saying that he used a continuance in it. In other words, the tense of the word was continual. What that meant was, even though they recorded it once, Jesus kept saying it over and over and over again. Father, forgive them. Why did he say it over again? I believe when they drove the nails in his hands, he said, Father, forgive them. I believe when they drove the nails in his feet, he said, Father, forgive them. I believe when they hoisted him up on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Those that planted his head with the crown of thorns, he could say, Father, forgive them. And yes, even after he had died, and they plunged that spear in his side, and forthwith came the water and the blood, I think those near could still hear him crying aloud on the cross, Father, forgive them. What he was saying is, there's a closer way to my heart than with a spear. Thank God, by love and faith, you can reach into my heart and find the forgiveness that you need. And I'm glad 2,000 years later, he still says it over and over and over again. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Some of you have come stooped in sin, stooped by alcohol and drugs and bound. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Some of you were good moral people, but you came to him, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Some of you were raised in Christian homes, but Jesus still said, as you came to him, Father, forgive them. Some of you knew nothing about Christ or the church before you came, but Jesus still said, Father, forgive them. I'm glad for one that has the power to wash our sins away and to give us forgiveness of sin. And without forgiveness, we have nothing. Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. He looks on. He's saying, these people don't have a clue. They don't know I'm the Lamb of God. I'm not going to deal with it in the message today. There's a reason why they never saw him as the Lamb of God. And that same reason really exists today. Because he never came the way they expected him to come. He never looked like what they expected him to look like. They had their preconceived ideas of what he would look like and what he would do and of his nature. They weren't looking for a lamb to die on a cross. They were looking for a king to come with a sword. And when he didn't come the way they thought, he realized they don't have a clue what they're doing. I stand in this pulpit week after week, stare into empty eyes of people, that they don't have a clue what they're doing. They don't have a clue what they're doing to Christ when they say no. They don't understand who they're saying no to. They're convinced of the fact that they have plenty of time and that they're good people and that they're moral people. But they don't have a clue that they're saying no to the Lamb of God, the only one that can save from sin. They don't have a clue. Our heart breaks for them. And we try to tell you over and over what you're missing out on. But still, people leave without a clue. No idea at all. Some's in denial. They know that they're living in sin, but they're denying it. They know that they're bound by sin, but they deny it. Others living in doubt. They doubt what this is all about. What the Lord is saying. They don't have a clue. Now that's extended to you now. But after this day, no longer will you be able to say, you don't have a clue what's going on. You're challenged today to give your life to Christ. You're challenged this hour to turn your life to God. You can no longer plead ignorance, because today we're pointing to the one that died on the cross and telling you who he is and why he died. In the year 1886, there was a Welsh missionary by the name of Robert Thomas. He was a missionary to China. While in China, he came to an understanding that the Korean people had not been evangelized. And his heart was burdened for them. And one day, he discovered through talking to some others that the Korean language and the Chinese language at that time were very close. So he thought, this is my opportunity. So he got together Bibles written in Chinese, Christian literature written in Chinese. And he thought, with such a slight difference, I'll be able to communicate with them and share the gospel. So he caught a ship, the General Sherman, that was headed to harbor in Korea. About the time they came into harbor, there was a conflict that arose between the Americans on board the ship and the Koreans. In the conflict, the ship caught on fire. Everybody on board died except Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas survived the burning ship, staggered to the shoreline, and guess what he had in his arms? Bibles. His arms were filled with Bibles. And when he staggered to the shoreline, exhausted, trying to hold on to the Word of God, to get the Word of God to the Koreans, they could not understand what had happened. So when the Koreans come, they thought that he was enemy, and they clubbed him to death. They didn't know what they were doing. Had no idea. Also, what they didn't know, the gospel had just arrived for the first time in Korea. South Korea today has a population of 30% of their population are Christians. I think God forgave them, even though they didn't know what they were doing when they beat His servant to death. Don't you understand this morning? When the servant dies, the message is still alive. It's still going out. It's going out to you today. And the Lord is saying, there's no excuse for you to leave this service today without Christ, because Jesus cried aloud, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No excuse. No excuse to say he doesn't have power to forgive. Yes, he does. The message still rings on. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, rose from the grave, ascended to heaven, and is coming back. But the message is still real this morning. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If there's ever a time that our area needs to wake up, it's now. This week, one of the young women in our own community, just an ordinary day, beautiful sunshine, a matter of seconds, an accident and gone. Jerry came from her family's just a few moments ago. Young man, get a call at 6 o'clock in the morning, gone. See, the truth of the matter is, the only thing that matters when we leave this world, has He forgiven us of our sin? We don't know the destiny of others. I don't know where you're going this morning. I can't answer for you. But I can tell you this. There was a day in my life where I cried out, Lord, I deserve to die. Lost without you. I'm a sinner. But the sweetest words I ever heard
Father, forgive him. He'll forgive you today. Come into your heart if you'll let him. Let's